I'm very happy to welcome back to the Radio Cafe Armand Saia. He is an organic farmer from Infinity Farm in Ribera, New Mexico. He's the proprietor of Desert Grows Mobile Kitchen down on Cerrillos Road across from Newman's Nursery. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Hey, Mary Charlotte. It's great to be back.
It's great to have you back. And yeah. I think the last time we talked, it was a year or two ago, and you were dealing with drought and all kinds of challenges, which is what every farmer is dealing with every year, different challenges. Tell us a little bit about desertgrows.org.
Well, and by the way, we still are dealing with drought.
Yeah.
And probably had the most devastating year yet. Hail, the destruction of four greenhouses by various different windstorms.
Good heavens.
And, the loss of $5,000 worth of lettuce, various incredible heirloom lettuces that were just pummeled by hail.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, in minutes.
Yeah. But yeah. Let's go back to what is Desert Grows?
Desert Grows is a not-for-profit that I set up about 4 years or 5 years ago. That's dedicated to understanding sustainable farming and trying to figure out ways to make that happen in the Upper Pecos River Valley.
You were a New York artist, a sculptor, selling big ticket items to wealthy people and making lots of money. And then you went from that to farming in the desert?
Yeah, it's a long story, but you're dealt a hand in life. And you have to play it. And that's pretty much what happened to me. I went through some serious challenges along the road, and I'm grateful for them now, but they were quite interesting. But one thing led to another, and it's a very long, complicated story. But my work always had a political side, maybe not even political. It had a human side to it that was very important, and it was all about humanity. And it just... one thing led to another, and growing food just seemed to be so important and so incredible. It seemed to be the crux of everything I was doing. I mean, the titles of my work were like Nutritional Equilibrium for One World, The Scale of Injustice, The Crucifixion of All Living Things. They were serious subjects, and they were serious symbols about very poignant problems that we're all immersed in right now, and people are just in absolute total denial of.
In denial, or I think a lot of people, and I think a lot of our listeners, are very cognizant of these problems, but don't know what to do. And one response is going to the land and growing food on it in a healthy way.
That's true. And basically...
it's not for everybody.
No, it isn't. And it's very, very hard work. And I've never worked... I've always worked hard. I delivered papers in Buffalo, New York when I was 8. Okay? The Courier Express early in the morning, every day. And, I have a very good work ethic. And I've done that all my life. And my sculpture was the same. But growing is the biggest challenge I have ever encountered, and the intensity of that has given me such respect for food and what we take for granted. It's difficult to articulate how incredible it is. That's why in every society, food is a blessing. It has a sacred connotation, and it always has through all time. I think we need to get back to that again. We have such an abundance in front of us, most of us, that we really don't think about it. We can eat more than we need. We do on a regular basis. Look at the size of America. It's evident. And we're being filled up with empty calories. And there's something else out there. Sometimes less is more.
Well, there is this thing of we have abundance, but we have really an abundance of bad food and not so much of an abundance of really healthy food. You kind of have to look for it.
It's true. And you have to be aware of it, and you have to be willing to understand it. There's a lot of science behind food, from the soil to the leaves to the fruits that we eat and the vegetables. There's a harmony in nature, which I've always been in tune with, but never like I am now. Now, the soil is so important, making soil is so important. Nourishing that soil so that it can produce those plants is an amazing thing. And the blessings that we get in those plants is sacred. So I believe we have to put some sort of sanctity back into food. And that's what I try to do at the restaurant, and that's what I try to do in my farm. That's what I tried to do at my farmers markets tables.
So let's talk about how you went from farming, which you're still doing, but farming to having this mobile kitchen.
Well, I have a passion for food, and I have a passion for growing it, and I have a passion for cooking it. And the two of them merging together make complete sense to me. It's kind of like art going to growing food to making creations out of that food and trying to make it palatable for people so that they can eat things that they may never have experienced before. And there are so many vegetables that people just don't, I mean, just simple, like kohlrabi, for example. To have it julienne, to be able to eat that raw or to eat it gently boiled and then put into a cream sauce. I mean, there are just so many things that people just don't eat. And I get a kick out of watching people enjoy food. So it's, I got it from my mother, I think.
Who is Italian?
Yeah, definitely Sicilian. Yep. My family's Sicilian on both sides.
Nice. I can relate. So we're talking to Armand Saia. Now, you're running this mobile kitchen, and it's so funny because it's one of these things that I have encountered in Santa Fe so many different times. You go to some place that looks like kind of a hole in the wall or just nondescript, and it's a little kind of a trailer, and it says something like fresh, delicious food on the side and a banner that's kind of tacked on. And then you eat something from there, and it is heavenly, you know, and you feel like you should be surrounded by candles and linen napkins and people in fancy costumes bringing you your your beverages. It's so good.
We're probably going to go there. Maybe not that elegant, but we're going to go from, we did what we could do. I've lived on many different levels. You know, it's interesting. Life is a journey, and the perspective from different levels is quite different. And being a farmer has taught me how to live from vegetable to vegetable. And really, I've never been so poor in my life.
What do you mean by oh, you mean just like...
Because I'm growing it and I'm selling those vegetables. I have to pay my mortgage on this farm, and it's been really a trip.
Yeah.
You know? So going from there to the restaurant has been a challenge. I had to build credit and be able to do this and prove from being a farm, that I could get some money and pay it back to the banks. And I never had such a challenge because I was never challenged that way ever before,
yeah.
Not having anything. And so I have great respect for where I live and how difficult it is to live there in a rural situation like that.
And how difficult it was 100, 200 years ago.
Definitely, you know, and that's just trying to get there to the place where you could run a restaurant. So now I built this food mobile kitchen. The mobile kitchen was supposed to be put into a location. It's a long, complicated story. It didn't happen. We took the Desert Rose restaurant in the outlet mall, and we started there. And the mobile kitchen was in the background then. It was just sitting there. And that was the whole purpose of what we were trying to do, have this mobile kitchen and be able to bring these delicious vegetables and grass-fed, free-range animals to eat and make incredible food on the street. And it didn't happen. So we went to the Desert Rose restaurant, and that didn't happen either. So now we tried two times. And before that, there was another time because we needed a rural kitchen, which was a commissary kitchen because of rules and regulations. So we had to be able to handle things. So there were three times. Now, this is the fourth attempt now at 6800 Cerrillos in a gas station.
And you're up and running.
And we're up and running.
Is it an active gas station?
No.
It's a
defunct gas station, which is perfect location for what we're trying to do. So here we are growing out of the ashes, the phoenix coming out of the ashes, and we have this mobile kitchen. Now, this mobile kitchen is a mobile kitchen. It's not a food truck. This is an amazing kitchen. And because of that, we were able to bring it over, plug it in, and bam, we were an instant in business.
So that's the mobile kitchen on 6800 Cerritos Road.
Yeah.
And you are also, or you have been for quite a while, a seller at various farmers markets. What have you seen, like, from the point of view of the customer? I mean, many of us go to farmers markets and we see all the different things there. But from you, as from the point of view of a seller dealing with all the different customers who come in, what are you seeing?
Well, my markets were alternative markets. They went from El Dorado to Las Vegas. And in those areas, I experienced, you know, the whole full gamut of people and their social strata. And I found that there are many people who have a very narrow scope on what they eat. And so bringing the wide and biodiverse vegetables that I brought to the table, I was able to show people things that they've never even seen before.
And they were open to it?
Eventually, you know, after a couple of years, people became more adventurous. I could get them to buy a little of this and that and try it and then tell me about it and, you know, develop these rapports with people. And found out that it was an interesting challenge to bring this biodiversity into their lives. I also, once I started the not-for-profit, DesertGrows.org, I was able to raise some money so that we could do demonstrations for the WIC mothers.
The Women, Infants, and Children program.
Correct. And be able to show them how they could use these vegetables, these various vegetables that we had on the table, in their commodity foods. And I thought that that was a good way to bring that food into the families.
And to get those children off to a good start.
Yeah, definitely. And get them into the habits of eating greens and, you know, various different tubers and, you know.
Yeah, we were just talking the other day to one of the folks from Cooking with Kids, which is a great program in the schools where, you know, they're cooking with all these vegetables and all these ingredients that the kids have literally never seen before or heard of, and at the end of a year of that, their palates change.
Absolutely. And that's a great thing, because I believe the more biodiversity we have in our diets, and the healthier we are.
And the more fruits and vegetables.
Yeah, definitely.
Now, you're an omnivore.
Yes, I am. Yeah, and proud of it. I was a vegetarian for 8 years. I did it. I gave it a try, but it doesn't really suit me. I don't eat vast amounts of meat. We like bits of meat put into our food, and sometimes I like a piece of meat, you know, by itself for the contrast. I don't believe we need to live on solely meat, and I think that we should probably tone it down a bit. I think we need less meat and more vegetables.
Now, this is something I keep thinking about and that keeps coming up as a subject here on the Radio Cafe, which is, can New Mexico feed itself? And what would be a reasonable, sustainable food system here in this state, which has limited and ever-decreasing amounts of available water? But, you know, certain amount of arable land, some of which is misused for crops that take too much water. I mean, there's a lot of problems and issues here. But what's your perspective on it?
My perspective is what we are working on in Desert Grows. We currently have a project where we're trying to develop some aquaponic greenhouses. And we have a location and we have a plan that we put together so that we would be able to pick and process that food, which is really just washing under the correct circumstance and packing, and then being able to have that ready for shipping and pickup. So we'd be able to do large quantities of food and be able to put that into the market. We really are interested in working on vegetables and leafy greens and vine plants in a system that's closed. Now, the beauty of that is we're protected from the environment and we use only 1/3 of the agricultural water. And these systems are, I believe, one of the ways to feeding ourselves here.
Right. And it's interesting when you talk about what are, at this point, kind of pilot programs or people are doing here and there. to get it out into the kind of general mind where it becomes easier to do, easier for other people to do, because there's a model, there's a template. It's like, this is how this works. You don't have to be inventing the wheel yourself.
Exactly. I think right now there are many people working on aquaponic projects, and I think they're all good. I don't think there's any serious full program that is a production program that is going to be able to be replicated and produced yet. I think there are a lot of people working there, and I think a lot of people are getting close to doing this. I think the more people that are doing this, the better. I don't think in terms of competition. I think in terms of the more food we have, the better off we are. And the more local food that we have, the better off we are. What we need to do is be able to get sustainable prices to be able to make these operations viable, so that we can produce enough food so the prices become stabilized and it's affordable to all people. I don't believe that organic food or sustainable food or healthy food, I don't even like the word organic anymore, because I think we're beyond all of that. I think what we need to do is think in terms of healthy food grown naturally for all people. And I think all people, we are Americans. We should be eating the best food available. And I think it should be available to all people. And that's what I'm working towards.
Armand Saia is an organic farmer from Infinity Farms in Ribera, New Mexico. He's the founder of DesertGrows.org, and he is the proprietor of the Desert Grows Mobile Kitchen on Cerrillos Road, across the street from Newman's Nursery in an old gas station.
That's right, in the resurrection of an old... I want to put bamboo curtains around the pumps, and I have this vision of an outdoor area underneath this big floating canopy where people could sit and eat and really somehow have some sort of interaction with other growers while they're eating, and maybe vegetables being sold right next to them. Or I want to build on the front of this building an aquaponic greenhouse, which would be our main dining room, where you could sit in there and watch the fish swimming around that are feeding the plants, and look at the plants that are producing the foods that they're eating. And I just think maybe with the sound of water trickling in the background, and I think it could be an incredible thing. Just the humidity and the heat, and I think it could be a really incredible thing. And this is what I'm working towards over there.
Armand Saia, thank you so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Yeah, well, thank you. Thank you so much for your show. I love it. We're big fans.
Thank you.
Yeah.